Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Okay, awesome. Hi, everybody. This is amazing to have so many people from all over the world. My name is Zena Cardman.
And I'm Laurel O'Hara.
We figured we'd start by showing you just a couple photos about our background and what training is like as new astronauts. And then we want to leave lots of time for questions from you guys. That's the most important part.
All right. So I will start off here. I grew up in Texas when I was a little kid. So I grew up in Houston, actually, with NASA just down the road. So from a pretty early age, I got to engage with NASA and the astronauts and even do, experiments in class when I was little, like growing tomato plant seeds that had flown on space shuttle. I always loved English and art and science. I didn't like math, but one of the things I was lucky to do in high school was start flying airplanes. And that kind of led me to study aerospace engineering in college. So I studied aerospace engineering in college. I focused on aircraft design initially and then started studying rockets down the road in grad school. That was really cool and I was excited about it, but actually after I finished grad school, I ended up going into ocean engineering where I worked on underwater robotics used for scientific research. So I worked on two vehicles. This was one of them. This one's named DSV Alvin. It's a submarine that takes three people to the bottom of the seafloor to do all sorts of different science research, geology, biology, chemistry. We got to work with scientists from all over the world. A couple pictures from inside the sub. The other vehicle I worked with is an unmanned vehicle. So with Alvin, where we had scientists and a pilot inside the vehicle, on this vehicle, everyone stayed on top of the ship and we drove it much like you would play a video game with controllers and looking at video screens. Jason did pretty similar work to Alvin, just without the people on board. I spent a lot of time going to sea on research vessels with Jason. I was a mechanical technician, so basically a mechanic for the robot. I'd put oil in it, I'd fix things when they break, and then help with the launch and recovery operations.
My story is a little bit different than Laurel's, but we have a lot of things in common. Growing up, I also didn't think I wanted to be a scientist. I wanted to be anything from a novelist to a seal trainer at the zoo. I loved reading and writing. I loved art in school, but it was a high school biology teacher that set me down this path in college and beyond. And I wound up being a microbiologist in my previous career. And I think growing up, I always thought of microbiologists as people who would spend a lot of time in laboratories, working at a bench. But it actually meant that I got to be outside a lot. I was very lucky to work on research vessels, a lot like Laurel. Actually, some of my samples came from her deep sea robot, which is really cool. We didn't know each other at the time yet. And I also got to do a lot of work in really wild places, from the Arctic to Antarctica, underground in caves. And generally the running theme is that I spent a lot of time stuck in slimy mud or with my head in a hole underground, just looking for microorganisms that live in really unusual environments, places that to us feel very extreme, but to those microorganisms feel totally normal and natural. And if you ask any of our classmates, our new NASA astronaut classmates, their backgrounds, I think the one thing that you'll learn is there's no one single right path to getting this job. We all come from totally different backgrounds. Laurel and I share the ocean and marine sciences and oceanography in common, but Laurel went the engineering route and I went the microbiology route. We also have classmates who are test pilots, who are aerospace engineers, who were professors, who were doctors, people who were geologists, all different kinds of people from all different kinds of environments. And now we get to train to be astronauts together. One of the things that we first do when we show up at NASA, if you weren't already a jet pilot, is learn to fly airplanes. So this is the T-38. This is the little supersonic trainer that we use. And this is to give us an idea of how to operate in a really high-paced, high-stakes environment, learn how to talk over the radio when you have a lot of things going on. It's also one of the few training platforms that we have where all of the sensations you feel are totally real. It also has great office views. But also now a lot of our training is focused on the International Space Station.
Yeah, so for the first 2 years that we're at NASA, we're basically an astronaut school, like Zena was mentioning earlier. And one of the major focuses of that is learning all of the systems for the International Space Station. So Space Station has been in orbit for 20 years, longer, I think, than any of you have been alive. There have been people living there continuously. So one of the things, we kind of split it into two different flavors. One, we learn all of the systems on the inside, and that's everything from how to react when there's an emergency, such as a fire on board, to basic everyday things like how do you make dinner, or how do you get a drink of water. We learn how to operate the robotic arm. It's a giant 70 meter long arm that was built in Canada and maintained by Canada. We learn how to operate it for spacewalks, so when we have one of our friends on the end of the arm who's doing work outside, or to do things like capture visiting vehicles that are bringing up fresh supplies and more science equipment for us. One of the most exciting things we do in training is to train for spacewalks. So like I was saying, we learn how to do all of the operations inside space station. We also learn how to go outside in a spacesuit and fix things on the outside of station, external to station when we need to. We do that in one of the biggest pools in the world called the Neutral Buoyancy Lab, shown here in this picture. It has a mock-up of the space station inside, full size. As part of our flow, and actually through all of our astronaut careers, we will do what's called runs in the Neutral Buoyancy Lab, where we suit up and we spend 6 hours underwater working through a procedure that someday they will also do in space. It's definitely some of the most physically demanding training that we do, and also the most mentally demanding, just overall pretty tough, but also really fun days. Here's a picture of actually Zena and one of our classmates, Josh, during some of their training. You can see, so when we're underwater in the suits, these suits weigh about 250 pounds outside of the water. And then we have a whole team of divers that you can see there behind us. We have a diver who's just kind of paying attention to our safety. We have one who's helping us with tools and, you know, all the equipment that we're handling down there. And then we have someone who's managing these giant tethers that you see that supply the oxygen. So it's a huge team effort to any day that we're in the pool.
So we're really excited to train to go to the International Space Station. And right now we do that using this capsule called the Soyuz in the upper left, and it launches out of Baikonur, Kazakhstan, actually. But we also have all of these new exciting vehicles coming online. And actually the first one is gonna launch next week from Florida in the United States. For the first time in several years, we'll be launching from the US again. And so we have all of these options, whether that's launching from another country or from the one where we grew up. And it's just such an exciting time to be part of NASA, I think, where we have this tremendous international collaboration and all of these different options that are available to us. So we have no idea where we're going to be flying, whether that's the International Space Station or somewhere like the moon on the Artemis missions. But we are just absolutely thrilled to be here and be a part of this right now. And we're most excited actually right now to take your questions. So we're hoping you guys will let us know what you're wondering.
Wow, congratulations on the Artemis. It's really cool that you guys are working or gonna work on the SLS, the Space Launch System, which is amazing. And how many G's do you experience in regular astronaut training?
That's an awesome question. And we also are really excited to be working with SLS and all of the other vehicles. I think the most G's that we experience regularly are using the T-38 jet. So sometimes you'll pull somewhat high G maneuvers. We usually don't go above 4 G's for regular kind of aerobatic work that we do. But sometimes we also get to train in a centrifuge. And so those Gs feel a little bit differently because they're coming through your chest rather than down through your head. And so it feels more like you have a lot of pressure on your chest rather than having to fight that feeling that you want to pass out the way you do with the Gs coming down through your head. So those are a lot easier to handle. Gosh, I think for me, a couple of important things were, first of all, start early. Don't wait for somebody to tell you that you're qualified. Just go out and put yourself out there. Get in touch with professors in a laboratory or email a specialist that you've never met and introduce yourself. Find research opportunities or internship opportunities. Find mentors and role models that you want to pattern yourself out after and who will support you and encourage you, and just never be the one to tell yourself that you can't do it.
Yeah, and to add on to that, I would say just stay curious and always look for opportunities to keep learning. So I think one of the biggest things, regardless of what you're doing, is just to try different things and seek out different experiences, because you never know, you know, what's going to grab you and take you down a path that you never could have imagined otherwise.
Yep. And don't be afraid to fail. I think sometimes people look at this blue suit and they say, well, there's a person who's checked all the right boxes. They followed just the right path. But really, I think we've probably failed more than anybody. And it's just a matter of just picking yourself up and keep going and learn every time from your mistakes and laugh about it too.
Wonderful advice. Okay, before we let them go, I'm going to unmute everyone so we can give them an applause and a thank you. And then I'll end the meeting for everybody and it'll be over. So can we all say thank you to Laurel and Zena?
Thank you so
much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.